Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. This video is asking, how vulnerable is Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin? Well, the answer is not very. I know that his ally, indeed his client, Bashar al-Assad, has been overthrown. Dr. Assad, al-Assad rather, has fled to Moscow, not even telling his prime minister. He was that desperate to hightail it out of it. Supposedly transferred $250 million in cash, literally cash, to Russia, where they spent hundreds of millions of dollars buying luxury properties in the years running up to this. So he's got a bolt hole there, not been allowed to see the media. Some telegram statements from him, presumably crafted by the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So probably never show his face in public again. That seemed to be a humiliation for Putin. Doesn't want to remind the world that his client had to run away with his tail between his legs. But I don't think that Putin is in very great danger because he's got a surveillance state. He's got the police everywhere. And this war is not going well. It's not going that badly. They are gaining territory in the hundreds of meters each day. And yes, they're suffering horrendous casualties, but they think the Ukrainians will break before they do. And they might be correct in that one. So I've been saying this for a year. The Ukrainian army is exhausted and they're finding it very difficult to catch recruits. And it is literally catch them. The recruiting officers grabbing them off the street, handcuffing them, taking away in vans, because people see it as little more than a death sentence being sent to the front. And it's often the same on the Russian side as well. But, you know, Russia's got more human resources and they really do see them as a natural resource to throw at the battle the Ukrainians do. The Ukrainians are husbanding their forces, partly because they're a bit more humane, but also they just have fewer people to play with and they're not conscripting people at the age of 18. And that is the fundamental mistake. So at some point, the Ukrainians might collapse and retreat may turn into rout. We don't know when that's going to be, and that could be quite sudden. And the other things is Putin is Trump's going to come in. Zelensky has already indicated he's going to negotiate. He's got to, because otherwise the United States is going to cut off all arms funding. So Putin reckons that playing for time is working in his favor. And though the Russian economic situation is difficult, it is not quite enough to have him overthrown. Yes, inflation is high. Yes, interest rates about 20%. Yes, the ruble has fallen. When I was there, it was about 80 to the pound. It's now about 132 to the pound. Obviously, you do it this in dollars. What is it to the dollar? Like 110 or something. That is bad, but it's not terrible. It could get worse. They're having to raise taxes. They're having to cut social spending. But, you know, the Russians lived through far worse in the early 90s. Anyone remembers like 30 years ago will say this is nothing compared to that. And when Russia was almost a failed state and Ukraine is managing to assassinate people, that chemical weapons general bumped off at Moscow the other day. So it shows that Putin cannot keep even his top people safe, even in Moscow. But, you know, Russia went through worse in the 90s. Chechen separatists were setting off bombs in Moscow and so on. Admitted that was before Putin was even prime minister. He became prime minister in 1999, then president New Year's Eve, 1999, acting president, as well as serving as prime minister. What could possibly be wrong with that? Yes, there is suffering from Russian people and staple goods are more expensive. And some businesses where they're going to collapse. At least unemployment is very low. A lot of wages have risen. So I think they'll be able to last through 2025. In 2026, it will get very difficult. But Putin's got lots of off ramps. He could de-escalate the conflict. He could sign a peace deal. Of course, break it when he judges it acceptable to do so, when he thinks the risks are quite low. But one thing is that Trump says if he offers a deal to Putin and Putin doesn't take it, the United States will hugely increase military aid to Ukraine. But will it? Trump may wish to do so, but that doesn't prove he's going to take the United States Congress with him. I know it's his party, the Republicans control both houses, but remember in the Senate, you need 60 votes to do that. And even if all the Democrats vote for it, and that's dubious, there'd be one or two lefties who wouldn't. So a lot of Republicans would vote against and brought him in partly because they thought that Biden was doing too much for Ukraine and enough for their border security. So it's questionable whether US military aid would increase at all, or indeed might be cut off completely. And we know the European Union is too short-sighted and too tight-fisted to save Ukraine. So that's why Putin thinks there is everything to play for. He could make a deal and then break it when he thinks he can get away with it in 2025. He could not make a deal and still think he's going to win in 2025, and that may work for him. And whilst the suffering of the Russian people is serious, it's not enough to bring them out on the streets in the short term. When we come into 2026, if the war is still going on, that could be a different matter. At that point, if oil prices have gone down a lot, The National Wealth Fund is gone. The cash has gone very high, especially they haven't made significant progress, may even be beaten back. Desertions could rise considerably. In 2026, that might be a serious risk to him. Mass demonstrations, but more likely pushed aside by somebody in his regime. I mean, if his whole cabinet say, you will retire today or go to jail, a bit like what happened to Nikita Khrushchev, could be that one, or could be a general or someone in the FSB ousting him. But he realized the threat would come with the army. There are very few army units near the center of Moscow. There's the FSB, there's the Federal Protective Service. He's got the Rosgvardia. So probably the Federal Protective Service are really his Praetorians, but they're quite small and elite. But he's got several competing security agencies, Quis Custodiat Custodes, Ipsos. And that's why he's got this polycratic system. But then that's Byzantine, it's complexity. That's why it's so inefficient. So I don't think Putin is in that great danger. Okay, so he lost Syria. But look at this. You know, NATO lost Afghanistan after 20 years of fighting, after over $2 trillion spent by the United States alone, other money spent by the other NATO countries, NATO still lost. And that was to the Taliban, which had not one tank, not one plane, not one helicopter, not one howitzer, and on and on and on. So you think of the massive size of NATO compared to the Taliban. NATO much, much bigger than Russia militarily. But that didn't lead to a revolution in the United States or any other NATO country. It scarcely had any impact on any elections. So the idea that the fall of Assad will necessarily bring down Putin, I think, is very far-fetched. It's a reverse for him. It doesn't look good. He'd like to de-emphasize it. But, you know, he'll throw his friends to the wolves. I don't think he'll hand over Assad to the other side, because otherwise dictators in his pocket like Lukashenko think, oh, God, maybe I better make the deal with the West or the opposition after all, because I know Putin won't bail me out. You know, Putin would hand me over. So Putin would like to keep those military bases and might yet get to keep them. There have been very unclear signals. Are they withdrawing or not from this naval base and this air base in Syria? So I think that's why he can still hang on. Other things left to play for. As I say, it could go in his favor, as in military victories, or oil prices could rise or something like that. Somewhat successful in Georgia, bringing to office a president who will do his bidding and a parliamentary majority. You know, that could happen in Armenia or something like that. Azerbaijan got very cordial relations at the moment. Moldova didn't quite work, might work in a few years' time. Slovakia and Hungary, of all the European Union countries, they're more amicable with the Russian Federation than anywhere else. So things could go his way. Has decent relations with all the Central Asian countries. Kyrgyzstan is the only one that's close to a democracy. Even their relations are not too bad. So Putin still has got a few cards to play, and the situation could improve for him. Much though I abominate him, I do not underestimate him. He is extremely evil. If he were tortured to death 1,000 times over, that still wouldn't repay him for all the evil he has done. As a very, very cruel person. And it underscores what a very evil and grossly unjust world we live in, that someone like him can commit myriad crimes just beyond comprehension and get away with it and get this endless adulation, live an absolute luxury. And good people, honest people, those who are gallant, are morally upstanding, they will suffer endlessly and never be rewarded. There we are. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.